Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Devin, I think it's too soon. I think this was irresponsible playing that clip. I'm sorry. You trusted me. What's that line from Animal House? Hey, you messed up. You trusted me.
You got it.
We got to keep some sense of humor, even if it's a kind of a gallows morbid humor. Because if you don't laugh, you're going to start weeping. Crazy times. Hey, last Sunday on this show, Dr. Michael Osterholm admitted that he's getting death threats via email, and it took me back, and then that compounded with the fact that Anthony Fauci, who shows up on television all the time with the president, sometimes during the press conferences, Fauci has gotten death threats and needs a security contingent. We are now at the point, folks, where scientists need protection. I mean, God help us when doctors need conceal and carry permits to be able to do their jobs, to report on facts and data, without people taking what they're doing and twisting it and weaponizing it and turning it into more ammunition in this ongoing cultural war. And it got me thinking a little bit about, hey, climate scientists, many of them have been dealing with threats for the better part of 30 years, and disinformation and misinformation and cherry picking and shading the truth. So I wanted to get John Abraham from the University of St. Thomas on this morning to talk a little bit about some of the similarities. John, thanks for coming on this morning. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on. And I think I heard Guns N' Roses playing a little bit earlier. And I got to hat tip you guys to bringing back my high school days. So thanks. Pleasure to be on today.
Yep, that was Guns N' Roses. Well, thank you, John. I mean, what, you know, when you hear these stories about epidemiologists being threatened, what comes to mind? I mean, for me, there are eerie parallels with what a lot of climate scientists have been dealing with for a long time.
You're right, Paul. There are incredible similarities. The main difference is the speed at which this unfolded. As back in early January, scientists were already, in fact, I was one of the people focused like a laser on this virus that was breaking out in China, and sounding the alarm bells and taking personal steps to prepare for it. And the scientists who work in epidemiology were warning governments around the world, especially the U.S., that this is something serious. But the key is, if we take action early, the impact will be smaller. Mm-hmm. And those scientists were ignored, largely ignored. And because of that, because we were unprepared, the cost to society is ending up to be far greater than it should have been. And the same thing is true with science, climate science. Climate scientists have been wondering and worrying and warning people for decades about this climate change problem. They've been ignored. And because they've been ignored, the costs will be far greater than they should have been. So it's this eerie parallel. The only difference is the virus has been fast-tracked compared to climate change. I mean, climate change is a slow process. This virus, ignoring science and ignoring scientists and even threatening scientists, has happened at warp speed in real time. And that's it's so fascinating to watch this play out, because this is capturing what we've been dealing with for 2 to 3 decades in climate science. So you're exactly right. There's an eerie similarity.
Well, there's always been this awkward interface, right, between science and research and policy. I mean, dating back to DDT and then acid rain and the ozone hole. And, you know, if the facts are such that certain industries or companies are implicated, there's a natural instinct to push back or to make things up and let's delay and confuse. And so it seems like denial seems to be status quo here. At least we're consistent as a species if it doesn't fit in with kind of our worldview. But
right, and there's a couple reasons for denial, Paul. One is there's a lot of industry that's making that's surviving based on status quo. And think about it, you know, if you are an airline or if you're an insurance industry or if you are a manufacturer, you don't want to believe that this could happen. And so there's this natural tendency to just cover your head with a pillow and try to forget. But in addition to the denial from industry, there's a denial from us as humans. I mean, we don't want to be secluded. We don't want to be isolated. We don't want to have to wear masks. We don't want to lose our job. And so there's this natural tendency to try to ignore the problem, hoping it'll go away. But in actual fact, if we listen to scientists early, take their recommendations seriously, the impact on us will be far less. And that's a real lesson that we should learn here. I mean, had we taken action earlier, the impact to the United States and the world would be far less. And it's a travesty that we didn't listen.
What's that old saying that most of the disaster movies begin with scientists being ignored by governments, right? And that seems to be the case here. And not just in the United States, I think worldwide there was a sense of denial that, no, this can't possibly spread around the world and start killing people en masse and shut down the economy. It's amazing to me.
Part of it, Paul, is that the mathematics behind how fast these things grow is somewhat complex. And you've probably heard, everyone's heard the phrase flattening the curve. And you might have even heard that the U.S. has flattened the curve. Well, that's actually not true. The United States is still increasing our infection rates at an extremely rapid rate. And when people say flattening the curve, what they're really talking about is the rate of increase is not increasing. I mean, if you've taken calculus, you sort of get this idea. But we have not flattened the curve in the sense that infection rates are going down. They are going up very, very rapidly. And so, you know, the science is a bit complex, and getting people to actually see the mathematics. I mean, that's pretty complex. You know, do you really understand epidemiology modeling? That's probably not many people do, but at least we can listen to the scientists when they make dire predictions and take action based on those dire predictions and not threaten them, not ignore them, not ostracize them, not tell them that they can't testify to different congressional committees. So all of that is stuff that it's an opportunity lost. But I got to tell you, Paul, I'm a little optimistic about what's happened. And I know you're going to ask me why.
Please, yes, go on.
Who would have thought that in the United States, a country that puts individual freedom above everything else, who would have thought that we would have collectively taken action to almost instantaneously shut down large parts of the economy in order to save lives? Yeah, we still have protesters in the street. Yes, we still have people flaunting the rules that would contribute to the common good. But the vast majority of people are taking this, are now taking this seriously. And Minnesota is a classic example. We collect, the citizens of the United States have done a lot to slow the growth of the virus. And what this shows us is there's power in collective action. And if we could do this type of action in the matter of a couple months, imagine what collective action can do on climate change. It shows us that we have the power to help solve these problems. And that's what I'm really optimistic about.
Well, that is encouraging. Last question. You've got 30 seconds, give or take. Is there a link between specifically COVID-19, the virus, and not so much climate change per se, but overdevelopment? Some people have pointed out that as we increasingly encroach into wild spaces, the potential for transmission from animals to humans increases. Is there any reality, any truth to that, John?
Yeah, there is. And it's exactly as you say, that as we as the distance between us and animals gets smaller, there's an increased likelihood that these things will break out. But mark my words, we have to be prepared for an outbreak like this at any time in any location in the planet. I mean, a few years ago, we had H1N1 outbreaks from the Americas, you know, from the United States and Mexico. And we've had other outbreaks from the Middle East. We have to be prepared to have a viral jump from an animal to a human at any time. And the way to be prepared is to have a robust detection system and a plan. Well, first of all, we have to outfit our hospitals with the appropriate gear. We have to have a detection system, and we have to have a plan to ramp up vaccines very rapidly. So there will be these kind of outbreaks in the future. Let's just prepare for them.
All right. Dr. John Abraham, University of St. Thomas, thanks for breaking it down for us and providing some perspective. John, you stay safe and hang in there, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, John.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.